Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible. Starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. From Wondery.
How you doing tonight, Aaron?
I'm good, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I went to the dentist today and found out that I've cracked one of my teeth in half, so I need to get a crown.
And I did a guest spot on the Voice of the Victim podcast. We both went out and saw the Joker movie and give our thoughts on it. It's a long discussion, so if you're wanting to hear about that and our thoughts on it, go check it out.
I know this will probably come out a little while after this happened, but I was on Let's Talk About True Crime with Esther Ludlow. Awesome. So if you know Esther from Once Upon a Crime, I was on her show and she dug a lot of information out of me. So if you're curious, check it out.
I'm curious and I'm a bad friend because I haven't listened to it yet, but I've been a little busy with chipped teeth and...
Well, you probably already know all of this information.
Yeah, but it's always good to hear you on another show.
This episode is brought to you by June's Journey. Unleash your inner sleuth and step into the glamorous 1920s. Uncover scandalous family secrets and solve the mysterious murder of June Parker's sister. With dazzling hidden object scenes and riveting storylines in each chapter, June's Journey invites you to a thrilling era of mystery and romance. And now, June needs your help, detective. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Your adventure awaits.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Tonight's case is Weirdly enough, some people say tonight's case is mysterious. Some people wonder about motives. I personally don't find the case mysterious at all. And I think motives are clear. We're talking about an NBA player.
Tonight we're talking about Bison Delly. And Bison Delly was probably most famous for being a member of the 1997, I believe, Chicago Bulls championship team, which he arrived at, I think, 9 days before they went into the playoffs. And then later, he became one of the highest paid players of the Detroit Pistons.
He retires early, buys a nice boat, a yacht, I'm assuming.
It's a really nice sailboat.
Yeah. He decides to go traveling, and something terrible happens. When does this go down, Aaron?
This is in 2002, but really, before we get into all of this, we should talk a bit about who Bison Delly was. He was actually born Brian Williams, and he had a brother named Kevin Williams, who was 2 years his senior, who had changed his name as well to Miles DeBoard. Bison changed his name because he wanted to honor the heritage of his ancestors. And so his mother was Native American, which is how he got Bison. His father was Black or African-American, so he used the name Delly, which I do believe was the name of one of his ancestors who was a slave. And it's kind of a cool name. Bison really stands out to me. Bison made a lot of his life. He got into this successful career in the NBA. You know, for the average person who doesn't know anything about sports, his numbers weren't huge. You know, he's not putting up Michael Jordan numbers. But he's one of those key players with his size and his athleticism. He makes a difference on the court. He was so popular with his coaches and the people that worked with him that he's the kind of guy who could retire from the NBA. But if he wanted to come back, he would be brought onto a team in a heartbeat. He just had to make a phone call.
Well, he started with the Denver Nuggets. He moved on to the Los Angeles Clippers. And then the Chicago Bulls, and then was the highest paid player for the Detroit Pistons. I read a couple articles saying he wasn't a star player, which, like, how do you become the highest paid player on a basketball team, but you're not a star player? Sounds like the guy had it going on.
Again, I think some people simplify it as, well, he wasn't getting the most points. And there are players out there that score 35 to 48 points a game, whatever it is. And sure, they're huge stars. But sometimes you have to look at what the coaches are saying. And when you have coaches like Phil Jackson swearing that this guy's one of the best, you have to take their word for it. They know what they're talking about. So we already said that he was a success on the basketball court. And you know that he ends up retiring early. In fact, he retires, what, in his early 30s, right?
I think he was 30 years old, which most people would consider the prime of your career. And he had already made, I don't know, $12 to $15 million. And he had another $36 million waiting for him if he would have continued. That's an insane amount of money. But he doesn't seem to be a money kind of guy. He seems to be about accomplishing things and memories and experiences.
This is the real mystery for me, is how did Bison come to be? Because his parents were Eugene Williams and Patricia Phillips. His mother seemed devoted to her family. His father, you know, had some issues, but he found success as well because he was a member of the Platters for a while. I guess they call it the second iteration of the group. Eugene, because he was doing this, the family would have to travel a lot. But eventually, the parents separated. And the kids, which would be Kevin and Brian at the time, they lived with their mom for a while. But then later, he moved back with his dad. So there was a lot of back and forth traveling, and there were a lot of issues. In fact, I think the second man that his mother, Patricia, settled down with, she really regretted it. And she didn't really want to talk about him too much. So I guess like any family, there are issues. But for these kids, it seemed like there was a bit of turmoil there. And so early on, it's like he went through all this. But then as he got in through his education, he's the kind of guy that was interested in music.
and sports and philosophy and just love to read books.
I think that might be one way you can escape your traumatic home life is you immerse yourself in other things. And he obviously was one of those people that's just a natural at anything they do. We have some friends that they can just pick up a guitar and start playing like they've played forever, or can just drive a stick with zero effort. And Bison, it said that he played a trumpet, stringed instruments, saxophone, even got a pilot's license. I mean, come on. Talk about an exciting life.
He was also into track and cross country. And this comes up throughout his history as people say he's physically gifted. But I think the people that got to know him knew him for his mind. Justin and I could spend a while talking about his NBA career, but
I don't watch basketball and I have zero appreciation for most sports. So I don't think I could do it justice. But as I read off his resume of teams he played for, man, I'm just going to assume that he was a star player and he was awesome.
The other thing I think we should impart upon you is that Bison didn't like living that life. So when it came time to live in a gated neighborhood where all the other players lived, he didn't want that. He would live in, you know, a house somewhere else. He didn't really hang out with that crowd. I mean, he was friendly with his other players, but, you know, if they're playing a game together, like cards or something, he was reading a book. He was elsewhere. There's a quote that he has, and I've seen it in Sports Illustrated, where he's talking about how he wishes he had a passion for basketball the way Miles Davis had a passion for music. And I think if there's a key here as to why he would retire early, it's not just that he doesn't need $50 million, 16's enough, but it's also that, you know, he played the game. He got a championship very early on. What else is there to play for? He's not passionate enough to keep playing that game, whether it's for money or for the points or for the team. He did his part and he was done with it. He was ready to move on and actually do the things he was passionate about. He wanted to see the world.
Yeah, he's been there, done that, got the shirt, got the trophy. Now what else can I accomplish? I get it. And he was very humble. It said that he dated Madonna at one point. I wish my life was this exciting and full of interesting people, but like you said, he didn't like hanging out with celebrities. So when he dated Madonna, what does she do?
Yeah, I don't know how much he really dated her. They might have gotten to know each other a little bit, but I mean, the way I understand it, he was literally handing the phone off after she called to his buddy, and his buddy would just listen to her talk for a while, and then he would hang up. And so Bison just wasn't interested. And that's another thing is he dated women, but he didn't really find anyone he was passionate about until he met Serena. Serena Midnight Carlin.
Love the name.
Serena's middle name came from the fact that when she was born, the front half of her body came out before midnight, and then the other half came out after midnight. That's why she was named Midnight.
Does she get to celebrate two birthdays?
But the other thing that really makes her stand out is she wasn't into celebrities either. When she was around Bison, I think they had an instant connection in a way because she told him that she could be in a room full of people and she felt alone. It's that kind of, I guess, philosophy or something like that that really got his attention.
Well, she hung out with celebrities. I mean, she grew up on Venice Beach, which I spent a lot of time in Southern California. You will end up at some point at a party where some celebrity will be there and you can meet them. She even knew Prince at the time and met him at a nightclub and ended up working with him for a bit. That's pretty impressive. So definitely was hanging out with the celebs in the upper echelon. Her father said that celebrities were attracted to her because she wasn't impressed by them, which is sort of funny. I think that celebrityism is a falsehood. I think people can have big heads and not be famous. And I think that famous people can be very humble and hate their celebrityism, like myself. Anyways, so she's this down-to-earth person, and Bison is down-to-earth. They're hanging out in the same circles, right?
Yeah, they met in 1997 and they hit it off, but Bison's always on the move. And at that time, he's going from team to team. There wasn't really a way for them to kind of really settle in together and really date, but they kept in touch. At some point, I think it was when she was talking with her mother, and her mother was saying, don't let this opportunity get away, because she could see how Bison and her had a real connection. And the other funny thing was she was telling Bison that she's working this, I don't know, some kind of menial job and she's in debt. He just sent her 50 grand and it said, this is what I think about your debt. Boom, it's gone.
Well, and again, he's a very generous person. Money's not that important to him, but he understands that when you're struggling, when you're living paycheck to paycheck, when you're just living a normal life, $50,000 will change your life, will take all that stress away. It's such a small amount of money to him, but it is a life-changing amount to anybody else. He's able to just help her.
But this wasn't charity.
Oh,
I think
no.
To me, I think it was a gift, and it was, he was saying, I really want us to spend our life together. That's the way I take it. I could be wrong. It's one of those situations where it really seems to solidify their relationship. And for a guy that had never seemed interested in settling down, he really likes her and he values her. Around 2001 is when she was living in New York City and Bison was saying, I want you to come out and visit me.
In Australia, by the way, because he's all over the world.
You know, Justin, we traveled this year to England, and that was a long trip. I can't imagine traveling from New York to Australia.
Oh, you have to travel into tomorrow. I'm sure our Australian fans are patiently waiting for us to come visit one day.
You travel and you go and meet friends or loved ones, whatever it is, and you always hear, oh, you should stay longer. Oh, no, I've got a flight. She stayed 3 weeks longer than the 2 weeks that had been planned. After she left, a few weeks went by and Bison's already saying, you know what? I'd like you here all the time. This is when he sends her the money. This is the start of their life together, essentially. Bison's got a plan. Bison's plan is to see the world, and he's going to start with the South Pacific, and he wants her to go with him. Now, Bison has a boat captain, and it's a guy named Bertrand Saldo. I guess he's working for about $4,000 a month. He's known as a very great guy, likes Bison quite a bit, just loves this. I mean, can you imagine just sailing for weeks on end out in the South Pacific?
That's your job.
Yeah, that sounds really hard. It wouldn't be great for me because I would just burn up in the sun. But
then I get seasick, but whatever.
Yeah.
Sounds like a dream job. What was the name of this boat they were sailing on?
Hakuna Matata.
I'm glad you said it.
May 2nd, 2002, the Hakuna Matata is sailing out from New Zealand, from Auckland. I'm sure someone's going to say it's actually Auckland. However you pronounce it over there. I'm American, so deal with it. But Bertrand, the boat captain, is there. And then you have Bison, and you have Serena. And then you also have Miles, which is Bison's brother.
Now, Miles, he doesn't have the success that Bison does. He is more just a regular guy, but Bison and him do interact. They seem to be somewhat civil with each other. Miles does have some issues in life, and he hasn't had the same opportunities as Bison, but Bison invites him along on this trip. Sort of a, hey, let's spend some time together. Come on the boat. Now, Serena didn't seem to be the biggest fan of Miles. She seemed to think that Miles would mooch off of Bison or always ask him for money, always ask him for help, and seemed to be jealous of Bison's success. I wouldn't know anything about having a jealous sibling in my life.
Well, it wasn't just Serena that might have had an issue with Miles. It was also the boat captain. Again, he was known as an easygoing guy, but even he had some issues with Miles, and he called him, I guess, a trying shipmate.
Well, it's July 4th, 2002, and they're going to be sailing to Hawaii. And this is a pretty long trip from New Zealand to Hawaii, right?
Yeah, they're going to stop over in essentially French Polynesia.
Restock, resupply.
And take time to enjoy the area.
Yeah.
And then hopefully they'll get the right winds to help carry them to Honolulu. The boat captain called a friend of his on Raiatea, to say that he would be there in a few days. So we have kind of a timeline. We know in a few days, supposedly, they should arrive.
Meanwhile, Serena and even Bison are telling everybody, we're probably going to be offline for a bit because you don't get any cell phone reception in the middle of the ocean. So if you don't hear from us, it's cool. We'll touch base once we arrive.
Now, there were some phone calls made from the Hakuna Matata, the last of which was Serena calling her mother. Her mother lived in Colorado. Now, the message just was, all is well. But after July 8th, no more communication. But it's not as though everyone disappeared. It's just as though most people have disappeared.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Some of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. But time for what? If time was unlimited, what would you use it for? If you need to squeeze a special thing into your schedule, do you even know what's important to you and how to make that a priority? Well, with therapy, you can find out what matters to you so you can do more of it. We all need to vent sometimes. We all need to talk about some of the things that have happened to us. And I'll tell you right now, your friends might be sick of hearing about it. So take the burden off them. Let a professional help you. Sometimes it's as simple as just getting something off your back and letting somebody else know so you can feel validated and move on with your life. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/GenY today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GenY. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Quince. Do you need to upgrade your wardrobe or home essentials at an unbeatable price? Well, Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style, and you'll have them in your closet forever. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% off less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, passes the savings on to you, and Quince only works with factories that are safe, ethical, with responsible manufacturing practices. Along with premium fabrics and finishes, how can you not love that? I recently got a duvet cover and a pair of awesome relaxed jeans. They're stretchy too. You can find all kinds of stuff at Quince. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/GenY for free shipping on your first order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/GenY to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/GenY.
Something's happened, but life is carrying on as if nothing has happened. And Miles will show up at an airport in Papeete. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong. And he meets his girlfriend, Erica. And that's on July 8th.
Of course, she's asking, well, where's your brother?
He says, well, him and Serena and the captain are visiting other islands. So he stays with his girlfriend, Erica, at the Pearl Resort, and he just says, you know, they wanted to continue on. Erica was like, well, I would like to meet your brother sometime. And of course, Miles talks about how he's mistreated by his brother, how his brother always has strings attached to everything, how his brother and the ship captain were mistreating him. And so Erica was like, well, I guess I don't need to see or meet your family or your brother. He put Bison up on this pedestal like, oh, he's a celebrity. He's too good for me and he never helps. And he gets everything handed to him. He has all the success and it's just not fair. I don't get that.
His girlfriend leaves on July 15th. And on July 16th, Miles makes a distress call. And this is on Tahiti's southeastern shore. His boat had run into the reef. He's the only one on the boat. And when help arrives, they see this boat. It's a 55-foot catamaran. There's some damage to it. The boat's name is the Arabella.
But this isn't the Arabella. This looks remarkably like Bison's boat, right?
Yeah, it looks like the Hakuna Matata, which Where else would he find a boat of this size and same type of vessel as the one his brother had?
Well, I think we can make an assumption here that it might be his brother's boat with a new name slapped on the side. Now, there's no sign of his brother, Serena, or the ship captain.
But Serena's mother, Gail, by this point, she thinks it's been long enough, and she's worried. By this time, she's been remarried to her second husband, Scott Olgren. He contacts the FBI. There's not really anyone to help, I guess. I mean, he tries to get help, but... And Bison has this reputation of he's probably just going to go off the grid for a while. He'll turn up at some point.
And that's sad because you want to give somebody like that space. You don't want to worry about them. But the families don't know that his brother has shown up with the boat and none of them are around. They don't know the extent of this. All they know is they haven't heard from Bison or Serena or anyone in several weeks.
August 22nd, 2002, Brian Williams, which is Bison Deli's former name, contacts a certified mint store in the Phoenix area. He's wanting to buy hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of gold coins. Through some negotiation over the phone, they get down to $125.96, and that's a hell of a check, Justin.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. Of course, you got to realize that Bison, or Brian Williams, had been traveling, so he had to put travel alerts with his bank and with everyone. So when this check is getting cleared for $125,000+, well, let's just say the bank puts a little red flag on that, right?
Oh, yeah. It seems a little odd. So they contact someone that is an assistant of Bison's named Kevin Porter. And he's looking at the check. But he's looking at it and thinks, wait a minute. This has a different address. And it's an address in Miami, Florida. And there's also a different phone number. So Porter does what I guess most people would do is, let's just call that number.
See who answers. Yeah.
The person who's, and this is just a voicemail message, says that it's B. But Kevin Porter knows Bison, and he knows it's not him.
He doesn't recognize the voice.
So he says, let's put a stop to this check right now. But he and the certified mint contact the Phoenix police. So what they do is they decide, this is definitely not Bison Deli. We're going to kind of put together a sting here. Whoever this guy is, they await his arrival.
Well, yeah, they actually call him and say, hey, your coins are ready. Come and get them. So somebody claiming to be Bison is going to show up and get these coins, or really get some handcuffs.
September 5th, 2002, the man arrives. It's sometime in the afternoon, probably around 1:30. He has Brian Williams' passport. He has his credit cards, but he is most definitely not, by the looks of him, Bison Deli or Brian Williams.
Instead, they're detaining Miles, his brother.
And this isn't a shock, right? I mean, we said at the beginning, it's not really a mystery.
No. So his brother goes on a boat with him, a sailboat with him. His brother shows up with that boat with a different name on the side. And Bison, Serena, and the captain are nowhere to be found. And he's told his girlfriend, Erica, that they're off traveling to different islands and they left me. But now he has his boat, he has his passport, and he's trying to buy over $100,000 worth of gold coin. By the way, gold coin, not the best investment. It doesn't fluctuate at all with price. You're not going to make any money. It's going to cost you more to store it than you will make money on it.
I don't think this is about investments.
Anyways.
The police want to talk to Miles DeBord. When they're speaking with him, they say, this is very suspicious. You've got his passport. There's this huge check that's being written out for these gold coins. What's going on? And he says, oh, well, my brother sent me to collect it. He's busy traveling and I'm just taking care of his business for him. So the police are also reaching out, trying to reach Bison. But of course, they can't reach him. You know, I mean, if he's out off the grid, out on the ocean, how are they going to reach him?
And they don't know about the boat. They don't know any of the background here. All they have is Miles's word.
Right. But even if they know that he's out there, how are they expected to reach him? If you're calling someone and they're not answering, it's not evidence of anything, right? So in the end, they decide to release him, which is a huge mistake, I think, because if you have someone's passport and you're claiming to be that person and the information on the check has changed to a whole new address and phone number, it's highly suspicious.
I would say that's probable cause, but what do I know?
I think this is where, even though the police didn't act at that moment, this is where the seriousness of what may have happened finally kicks in and there's a search made. All they really have is they know that Serena called on July 8th and they know Bison's habits. He typically emailed people every month, but months have gone by and no one's heard from him. Also around this time, Patricia and Bison had become estranged. So it's like he and his mom kind of had a falling out. The family dynamics can change. He's a grown man. He's successful. He's tried to help his mother out, tried to help his brother out. And there are just some longstanding issues there. It's probably one more reason he wanted to go sail the world because he needed to get away from all that stuff.
But you can't be a world-renowned NBA player and just disappear off the map. Somebody's going to notice. And it's July 2002 when the news broke that a retired NBA player and his two companions have disappeared in the South Pacific. That's it. I mean, it's worldwide news, but where do you search? That Malaysian flight went down. They couldn't even find a whole airplane for a long time. How are you going to find people?
So Bison and his mother had had kind of a falling out a bit. They weren't corresponding. There wasn't an expected correspondence. So when the police are asking, hey, what do you know about your son? When have you heard from him? She said it was at her mother's funeral or around that time that she last heard from him. So she had last seen her son in January of 1999 at her mother's funeral. And the last contact she ever had with them was an email that she received on May 30th of 2002. The FBI and the Tahitian authorities, they're working investigations into the disappearance of Bison, the boat captain, and Serena. The police call the FBI to say, well, his brother was pretending to be him and had attempted to buy some, you know, a large amount of gold coins, but we released him. So the FBI's like, we're going to go look for him. Meanwhile, the Tahitian authorities are trying to find the Hakuna Matata. September 7th or 8th, Miles DeBord went to Palo Alto and he tried visiting his girlfriend. He wanted to update her on what has been going on.
Yeah, he seemed very distraught. So something was bothering him. So he started to confide in her or confess to her, whatever word you want to choose.
He said that he and his brother Bison got into a fight and that while they were arguing and fighting, Serena came over to try and break it up. Bison accidentally knocked her down and she ended up dying after she struck her head.
I love how he says Bison knocked her down, not he knocked her down.
And then the boat captain said, we're going to have to go into port and I'm going to have to report this to the authorities because there's been a death. Bison didn't like this idea. So using a wrench, he beat his boat captain to death. And then because Miles felt like he was next, he ended up shooting Bison with his own gun.
Self-defense. So they got into a struggle. Bison was the one that bumped into Serena and knocked her down, which that fall killed her. And then Bison went crazy and killed the boat captain. And then he had to defend himself. Yeah. Okay. Got it. See a lot of distancing yourself from all this chaos happening. I start to think of Robert Durst and his neighbor and getting a bone saw out and saying, well, you know, this happened and I had to deal with it. So Miles, now knowing that all these people are dead, says, no one's going to believe my story. So what does he do next, Aaron?
Well, he secured weights. And these are bodybuilding weights to each of the bodies and then pushed them into the water. This is into the ocean. Then he headed off to meet up with his girlfriend. So Erica does the right thing. because she ends up calling the authorities. Meanwhile, Miles leaves and heads off to Mexico.
So Miles initially said that they were off visiting other islands. Then he shows up with the boat with a different name on it and then tries to buy $100,000 worth of gold coin. And now he's confessing that he had to kill his brother in self-defense because his girlfriend fell down and died and Miles went crazy and killed the boat captain. Just to keep you all up to speed here on how ridiculous this story sounds.
September 10th or 11th of 2002, Miles called his mom and he said, I found something and I tried to cover it up, but I didn't do what they're saying. No one will believe me. He's threatening suicide and he's telling her I wouldn't just kill my brother. All I can say is I think he's trying to win over mom. There's a warrant at this point for his arrest. The FBI is looking for him. On September 12, 2002, the Tahitian authorities figure out the Hakuna Matata is now the Arabella.
And when they inspect the boat, they find that there are some holes that have been patched in it. Well, those are bullet holes, right? We now know he claims he shot his brother in self-defense. Self-defense, air quotes there for everybody. But we don't know how Serena died or how the boat captain died because he dumped their bodies.
Using satellite phone data, the investigators pinned down the last known location of the boat around the time that Bison and Serena and the boat captain went missing. It was near a small island. I think it's called Mao or Mao. It's west of Tahiti. This was on July 6th or 7th.
There's a search going on for Miles. The FBI is working with the Mexican police, and they storm a hotel where they think Miles is staying, but he's not there. September 15th, at around 11:30 a.m., there's a man found unconscious on the beach in Tijuana. They bring him to the local hospital, and they're trying to treat him. They think he's just a drunk tourist who, you know, just alcohol poisoning, whatever. They're not sure, but he's not responsive. They notice that he has blistering, which suggests that he hasn't been moving for a while. So he's been out in the sun. He's been exposed to sand, water, the sun, and they don't know who he is. It takes a while for them to figure who this guy is, and they just label him a John Doe at that point.
September 19, 2002, the Chula Vista police in California went to the hospital where this John Doe was being cared for, and they're going to do a fingerprint check on him. He's identified as Miles DeBord.
They figure out that he most likely is suffering from or dying from an insulin overdose. So he's in a coma.
Yeah, September 20th, 2002, the authorities attempted to arrest him as he was in this coma. But a couple of days later, they withdrew that arrest warrant because, well, he wasn't going to be coming out of his coma. And meanwhile, in Tahiti, they're literally looking at wherever this boat had been. And they're searching. They're doing their best to try and find any evidence of Bison, of Serena, or of the boat captain, and still no sign of them.
But on September 26th, 10 a.m. in the morning, Miles is taken off life support, and he will end up passing the next day. Three of his friends were with him when he died, and his mother actually arrived just minutes after he passed. His autopsy actually lists his manner of death as inconclusive. But again, there are a lot of rumors and people that report that it was an insulin overdose. Other toxicology reports, though, list opiates, antidepressants, anti-anxiety meds in his system. So if you take those and drink on top of it, that can be a lethal combination too. With the death of Miles, we're just left with questions.
So at this point, you think, well, all we have to go on is that Miles said that he had to shoot his brother in self-defense. And this was just a tragedy because it all started with an argument. But no one believes this. I mean, you don't accidentally kill your girlfriend and then kill the boat captain. And then your brother kills you. And then your brother runs off and tries to spend $100,000+ of your money to get gold coins. This is just, it doesn't add up.
Well, and again, it's he kills his brother and then dumps all their bodies with weights. I mean, this is so reminiscent of Robert Durst killing his neighbor, buying a bow saw, and then cutting his neighbor up and then dumping his body in the ocean and then claiming self-defense. This is the same story here. Yet Miles actually purchased those weights before the trip. I guess he was planning on working out on the boat. What does that say when you've purchased the exact item that you used to dispose of the bodies with before the vacation?
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or grandmother for years to come. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. What was your favorite toy as a child? Or what's your favorite memory of your grandmother? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. After a year of responses, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. My mom completed her story, and each of her kids now has a copy to read and share with their kids. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/GenY. That's storyworth.com/GenY to save $10 on your first purchase.
And the other problem was, if you take his story at face value and you compare it to the evidence collected from the boat after the authorities got a hold of it, they found absolutely no evidence that Bertrand, the boat captain, was beaten to death as was described by Miles to board. Because getting beaten to death with a wrench, that'll leave a lot of blood spatter everywhere. And they just didn't find that.
Yeah, and we'd never got the reenactment of how this struggle happened and how Serena fell and hit her head. I mean, it's just absurd. You know, when people say this is a mysterious case, I don't see the mystery. I think it's very straightforward. When people question, what was the motive? I mean, it's obvious. It was the money. Not only was it the money, but I can only imagine Miles being that less than sibling who's watching his brother get all the gold, get all the women, buy the boat and sail around the world. And what's he got? He's got a pot of beans and his brother has everything and he hates him for it.
Yeah. Miles tried different businesses. He tried being an entrepreneur. Nothing ever worked out for him. He himself would have been a great athlete, they say, except he had severe asthma. So he was constantly held back. And I think we can't obviously ask Bison, but you know, Bison might have said, and this is speculation, but I could see him saying it's all in his mind. You know, if he wants something, he should go do it. But this really boils down to jealousy. If you get that angry about someone having more than you, what are you willing to do about it? Some people are willing to kill. And if you add in that he was buying hundreds of dollars worth of weights before he goes on this trip, and these weights are all gone because he's using them to weigh down the bodies.
It's premeditated in my mind.
Yeah, it's premeditated. It puts everyone else in a tough spot because it's only Miles DeBoard who wanted to see Bison dead. I mean, even the mom, when she's asked, Patricia, she said, I'm the mother of both of these men. You know, she didn't want this. She's lost both her sons. This is a tragedy for that family. All we're left with is greed. That's what happened here. It's not a mystery. The only mystery to me is how did Bison come to be? And like you said, maybe it is as simple as he used books to get away. That was his escape. And he used music to get away. He happened to be a very good athlete and that set him up for life. But his brother, and this has happened before, you know, we covered the case of Mark Hacking. Why did he kill?
He was about to be found out.
because he couldn't make it like his siblings could.
Oh.
He had probably in his own head the pressure of his entire family being successful. And so he was trying to fake it till he made it. And in the case of Miles DeBord, yeah, he couldn't make it. And along the way, Bison even gave him some money here and there to try and kickstart a business or something. And it didn't work out.
And Serena saw this. You know, other people that are not in the family, they see it clearly. They're like, your brother or your family members, not a good person. And they're using you and they're manipulating you. But they're family, they're blood. So you have that entrenched obligation that you're supposed to help them. And I'm telling you right now, you don't. But it's hard to see that when you're in the relationship, when it is your blood. But yeah, no, you can remove yourself from toxic people and it doesn't matter if they're a family member. And Bison was just a good, generous person. Sadly, that's who these toxic manipulators will target and that's who they will take advantage of.
And you know, if they did have a fight, I could see that fight having to do with Bison telling his brother, you know, I'm not going to just keep giving you money.
I'm cutting you off.
And maybe that's just something that he wasn't willing to listen to. And that's what sent him over the edge. But he probably would have been told that before the trip. Because why buy all these weights? Is he really going to work out on this boat?
There's a term that I heard once in my lifetime. It was called set trip. Meaning you set a trip for somebody for them to trip over. In other words, to start a fight with you, to start a confrontation with you. So they trip over your set trip. And I'm assuming Miles went out there with the intention of causing this argument, of getting himself riled up to get the courage or the reason to go through with this murder. I think he planned it the whole time. I don't think this was a spur of the moment. If they did argue, then it was all planned.
I had said earlier that Miles DeBord had tried many different ways to make money, to start businesses, and he just couldn't keep up. It just wasn't working out for him. And maybe this was his final get-rich-quick scheme. Kill my brother, take his money, and if I'm lucky, then I can assume his identity and just live on Easy Street. I can have that life that I always wanted. It's right there. We said there's not really a mystery here. I said I think there's some mystery to how Bison ended up the way he was. And I have a lot of respect for the way that he handled himself. I think it's awesome that he wasn't just worried about accumulating wealth. This idea that $16 million is enough and he doesn't need 50 or 60, that he has other pursuits. He wants to see the world. He probably wants to settle down with this woman that he's in love with and that she's changed her life for. That says a lot. I have a lot of sympathy for Patricia Phillips, who is Bison and Miles' mother, because sure, she's had her issues, but she lost both of her sons in a relatively short amount of time. As she says it, there are a lot of questions that the FBI, that the Phoenix police, that the Tahitian authorities have to figure out. But for her, she just wants to know what was going on inside of her son's minds. She just wants to know what was happening with her boys. That for her is the real mystery. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.